First of all, I would say, don't be discouraged by numbers. Somebody said something this morning about, well, there wasn't too many people here. But I've traveled across the country and spoken to 4 or 5 people. So today it's not the numbers. I think, you know, in the near distant future, it's going to be numbers. But today we don't see large numbers. And that's understandable because the message that's being proclaimed today is so far beyond the capability of our natural intellect to be able to grasp. That's why when I speak, I don't speak to your intellect. I don't try to make you understand what I'm saying, although I do that to the best of my ability, but today the message is not to the intellect. The message is to the spirit of man. And because your spirit, as the word says, knows all things. It searches and knows all the deep parts of your being. Your mind cannot know all things unless your mind has been renewed and you have a mind that is the mind of Christ. The natural mind cannot comprehend nor receive the things of the Spirit of God. And that's why today so many, even people who love God, are having a difficult time with the word that is coming forth because it does not fit into religious concepts or theologies of man. Yet everything that's spoken can be found in the word, but it's not going to be found with the intellect. Because the word of God is a great mystery. And mysteries are not that easy to figure out. There's a verse in Revelation chapter 10 and in verse 7 that says this: "In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets." Now, I believe with all my heart that in these days, the seventh angel is sounding forth his voice in clarity to bring the consummation of the ages, revealing the mystery of God in its fullness. And would to God that we all would have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now let me begin by saying this, as I do, and probably said it here before, that I am not here to convince you that I know something and that you have to agree with what I know. When I speak to you, if there is not a resonating in your spirit, if you do not sense the anointing and the presence of God arise in you, if nothing that I say bears witness with you, I would encourage you not to listen, or at least not to be concerned about it. Because the Spirit of God Himself is the only teacher that we really can depend on. And that teacher is within you. And that anointing that you have, as John tells us, the anointing which abides in you teaches you all things, and that's the truth. And that voice that is within you, that anointing that is within you, the Spirit of God speaks on all levels of spiritual growth. Yes. You see, that anointing that you have when you're first regenerated and are a spiritual babe, that voice, that voice will speak within you, yet it will not speak with the understanding of a son or a young man or of a father. So a lot of times when someone speaks and you don't understand, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're wrong. It could be that you're still a spiritual baby and what God is speaking to you is still the elemental things. You remember there's a verse in Hebrews 6 that said, let us lay aside what? What's that say, Larry? Let us lay aside the elemental teachings of faith towards God, of baptisms, you know, all the elemental things. So a lot of times when someone speaks, now someone said to me in Ohio a couple of weeks ago, when I spoke, they said, how come you didn't talk about the cross? Now, anybody that's familiar with my message at all will know that the cross is the theme of what I speak. But you don't speak the elemental teachings every time you give a message. You can't do that. So the point I'm making here is don't even feel bad if you cannot understand or even agree with some of the things that are said. Because you have to go by your anointing. You have to go by the Spirit of God in you, and what is shared must bear witness with your spirit, or you should not receive it. That does not mean that as you grow and mature, that maybe 2 years down the road, you might look back and say, wow, that was really true. So I would encourage you, only receive what you can, because when someone speaks, there'll be something that you can receive at any level of spiritual growth. I want to mention, or at least talk a little bit about the evolution of consciousness. I hadn't even thought of that word ever before until I was sitting back there this morning. Because I don't believe in evolution in the sense that, you know, man came out of the sea as a little spot and grew a tail and, you know, all of that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. But I want to share about an evolution in consciousness. Now, consciousness, for people who are afraid of New Age terminology, consciousness simply means awareness. That's all the word means, is awareness. And you can see an evolution in consciousness in the natural, because every spiritual truth has a natural manifestation as well as a spiritual. So in the natural, our consciousness evolves. You know that. You know, when you were a child, you thought as a child, you played as a child, you did childish things, you were only aware of, you know, things right in your local sphere, your parents and all that. But as you grew, your consciousness and awareness evolved, expanded to where your consciousness, humanly speaking, began to take in eventually the world. Well, God has been evolving us in consciousness, in spiritual consciousness, ever since the fall of man. You can see that, you know, even in the Old Testament, God came to them and revealed himself to them at their level of consciousness where they were in that day. They're, even in humanly speaking, their consciousness had not evolved to the state of where we have today, where we can understand deep spiritual truths. Tell me today, what would happen if someone would reinstitute animal sacrifice? Human consciousness has evolved to such a state today that that would be impossible. If you was to take any kind of an animal and have a religious thought to slay that animal for a sacrifice, that does not compute today in our human consciousness. Now, I'm not saying that was wrong for them back then. I just want you to understand where I'm going with this. We are evolving in consciousness. And the song that we sang, I will take you back to where you were before the fall of man. I'll restore your soul. I'll reconcile your heart, and I'll give you back your true identity. You see, that is the mystery of the gospel. This whole book of the Bible was written to reveal the mystery of your identity. If we will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, You see, what happened to man in the fall was that the seed of God, the spiritual being that he created in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, he created man a spiritual being. And that spiritual being is the seed of God, is the Christ of God. That spirit is the same as God, equal to God, because it is created out of God. That's who you really are. And that spirit, that seed, fell into this earth and died. You see, people and religious teachers for years have told us how that we need to die to live. That we need to deny the flesh, that we need to do much fasting and prayer. We need to do all this religious activity because if we can ever kill this flesh, we'll discover God and we'll live. Well, I want you to know the very day that you came out of the womb, you were dead. You had no idea of who you were or where you came from. You see, you were born in death. And you cannot kill something that is already dead. And that's why Paul said that, he said, we were crucified with Christ. When? 2,000 years ago on the cross. The very fact that you would have the mentality and the intellect to think that you had to crucify the flesh proves that you have not had a revelation of Christ in you. Now, I'm not saying you haven't experienced that to an extent. You know, we experience regeneration. But when we are first regenerated, we are just beginning to awaken from death. And the more you try to crucify the flesh and try to serve God out of the human intellect and understanding, the further you'll be away from the reality of Christ in you. Because this is not a matter, as I've shared thousands of times, it's not a matter of you taking your human consciousness and intellect and making it godly. This is about Christ being revealed in humanity. This is about the temple made without hands. This is about the Spirit of the living God filling your human consciousness to overflowing with His life and presence. This is about God once again coming alive in humanity and becoming flesh. This is about Jesus becoming a life-giving spirit to give you life, to awaken you from your death state, and to reconcile your heart and give you back your true identity. Today, the eyes of our heart are being unveiled. And the moment you begin to realize that you are not a human being with a limited human consciousness, but you are a spiritual being dwelling in a human body, you will begin to live as God on the earth once again. But as long as your identity is with this human consciousness, this frail, limited human consciousness who is trying to make himself into a god, you will simply become the abomination of desolation. Because human consciousness can never become godly. But if you understand that you are a spiritual being, and you awaken to that fact of being a spiritual being, you will never again have to try to be something that you already are. See, that's what religion does to us. Religion tries to get us to be something and to act like something that we already are. But the focus is on the human consciousness trying to make it into God, trying to make it more godly, trying to make it conform by rules and regulations and a standard of living, trying to make a performance-based Christianity. And God will have none of it. And that's why so many of us have failed year after year after year after year until we get to that place where the Apostle Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And when you get to that point, then you begin to awaken to your true identity. Oh, that God's people would wake up. Because you see, your struggles are over. How many times I've shared that, you know, when you're living in a human consciousness, you don't get up in the morning and try to figure out how to be a human today. You know? Yet, if you have been regenerated and you've fallen into religion, every morning, if you're like I was for years, you wake up trying to figure out, well, how can I not do this today? See? How can I live a godly life today? How can I put down these habits in my life? How can I get rid of this resentment that I don't want? And your whole life is one of discouragement and despair because you can never measure up to the Christian standard. But supposing you one morning as I did, I awoke in His likeness. I awoke realizing that my struggles were over because I realized that He whom I had worshipped, He whom I had sought year after year, had awoken within me. And never again did I have to get out of bed in the morning and try to be like a god. You see, you never have to try to be something that you are. The best description of God that I've ever come up with is being. He is being. And when you discover that you are of His essence and His substance, you are birthed out of His mind. You were birthed out of the Word of the living God. You are His idea. And when you awaken in His likeness, you never again will have to try to be godly. Wouldn't that take a load off of our brothers and sisters? You see, instead of religion trying to, because they don't know, instead of unveiling to Christians their true nature and identity, They build up the false identity of a human trying to conform to God. Oh, what a vast difference. There's a verse that said, "When I awake in your likeness, I'll be satisfied." And wasn't it Job that said, "I know that in my flesh I shall see God." That's the voice of the seventh angel, declaring the mystery of God is fulfilled. How could you ever understand with the intellect that everything that you've been trying to do, everything you've tried to overcome, everything you've tried to do is already yours by inheritance? We all know the story of Isaac. He was a child of the promise. He just inherited everything without struggle. And when you realize that you are a child of the King, you are a son of the Most High, or daughter. We tend to use the word son so much. But when you realize that you, that your being is spirit, that God created you out of His substance, that you are the same as He is, that means that just as you inherit a human nature from your father, and you inherit his traits in the natural, you'll inherit the diseases, you'll inherit the good and the bad. Just as you are a child of the earth, you are also a child of the heavenly. And as a spiritual being, you inherit everything that God is. You have His nature. You have His love. You have His unfailing, undying, unfathomable love for all of creation. And everything you do from that point, when you awaken in His likeness, everything you do from that point is to serve humanity. You no longer are concerned about yourself. Your battles are over. Your struggles are finished. And you come into a complete rest and enjoyment of being a son of God. Do you still make mistakes? Of course. They just don't bother you anymore. Will the sin at times reoccur in your life? Will you be grabbed by certain things? Well, of course. Until this life in me swallows up death, there will always be flaws in my life. You see, it's not about me overcoming with this human mentality. But I'll say this, that life swallows up death. Don't try to kill the flesh. It just comes more alive. There's a verse in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, about 53, that says the strength of sin is in the law. The law gives strength to your sin. You put yourself under a law and you give strength to that sin in your life. And it's meant to be that way to bring you to the end of yourself and realize you cannot overcome by outward rules and regulations. You will only come alive and you will only overcome when you realize that you have an overcomer within you. And you cannot do anything but overcome. It's impossible for me not to overcome. I'm an overcomer. Yet when I lived out of this religious mentality for years, I could never boldly declare that I was an overcomer. You see, that's why we need a shift in consciousness. We need to quit living out of this limited human consciousness. And I say we have to, realizing that when I say you have to, you can't. But because of the voice of the seventh angel sounding forth today, quickening the spirits and the minds of God's people, you will automatically find yourself awakening to righteousness and realize that you in your human personality had nothing to do with it. You see, I said that the spirit of man that was created in the image of God fell into this earth and died. Yet that seed has everything within it to reproduce the kingdom of God on the earth. But you see, there's two seeds on the earth. There's the seed of the woman and there's the seed of the serpent. And the seed of the serpent is the human consciousness. That consciousness that makes you realize that you are alienated from God. You are separate from God. You're a horrible sinner, and God couldn't possibly do anything for you because you're not worth it. And oh yes, we believe in the blood. We believe in the cross. We have been regenerated. We believe, but we still have that seed of the serpent that's been sown in our minds. And we're still separated from God. And we're still trying to overcome. That's the seed that's being swallowed up by his life. You see, you can't swallow up that seed. It's his life in you swallows up that seed. It's not a matter of anything but the seed in you getting the proper nourishment and the proper water, the proper ministry that will cause that seed to grow, and then you one day will awaken his likeness, and for you, then you live as effortlessly as Jesus did to be godly. The life of God knows no other way to be but godly. I used to worry for years about holiness. And one day God said to me before I ever experienced it, He said, Gary, you are most holy. And here I am full of sin and habits. And he said to me, the very first place holiness is mentioned in the Bible is where Moses was before the burning bush. And God told Moses to take his shoes off because he was on holy ground. And God said to me, why was he on holy ground? Because my presence was there. Where do I live today? Is this just a good teaching that we've accepted? Is this just a nice doctrine that Jesus lives in me? Is it just a doctrine that we've been regenerated? Or have we? Because if we have, if the seed of God in us has been regenerated and made alive, we are most holy. You will never get any more holy than that. Now, when you realize that and begin to live from that consciousness, you produce the fruit of that, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temptness, meekness, and self-control. Those are all the attributes of God. Those are not human attributes. Now, there is a reasonable facsimile in human consciousness called the knowledge of good and evil, where there's a certain amount of love. But that love is only lovely as long as you are lovely to it. See, there's a human patience, but that runs out. But the fruit of the Spirit is unlimited love, unlimited forgiveness. You know, I battled for years over a verse when I was, you know, still trying to find God, and I was still, you know, sinful and full of habits, and I used to read the word, I used to think of the word all the time. The serpent in my mind would bring back this verse, "My spirit will not always strive with man." Oh, and I'd get into fear, you know, and I'd think, "God, how much time do I have to overcome this human nature that I have until your spirit will give up on me?" But all that verse is saying, my spirit will not always strive with man. You know, if God has to, he'll turn you over to the enemy for the destruction of your flesh so that your spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. It's not a matter of you being saved or lost. It's a matter of you awakening to who you really are. And that's why we go through all the trials and the circumstances in our life. It's so that we will seek God and hunger after Him enough, spend enough time in His presence until we are awakened to His Spirit. I know if I'm really saved. Well, I really believe today the problem is that in churches all across the world, people are going to church and pastors are telling them they're saved when they really haven't experienced God. People used to say to me, but how do I know if I'm really saved? Well, you know, I didn't know that myself. Because I went to pastor after pastor. I would go to altar call after altar call because I didn't change all that much. And I didn't think I was saved. And the preachers would tell me, you know, after you come to God, you can't live like you're living anymore. You have to stop that. And so, you know, if I'd see Billy Graham on TV, I'd kneel down in front of the TV. I'd do everything. I just didn't know if I was saved. I'll tell you how you can know if you're saved. I'll tell you how you can know if you're regenerated. The moment the spark of His life is regenerated within you, there begins a conflict in your life. If there is no conflict, there is no regeneration. If there is no conflict, there is no knowing God in reality. Now, you may have heard a message that stirred you. You may have went to an altar. You may have tried to accept Jesus out of fear. But if there is no conflict, there is no regeneration. And I'll tell you why. You already know, but I'll tell you anyway. When you are regenerated, the spiritual person that you are begins to awaken. That is God in the flesh. That is God once again being birthed in humanity. That is once again an incarnation of the Most Holy One. And He is very holy and high and lifted up. That person has never known sin, has never been touched by the fall. That person only knows the hunger that it has for God. And that creates a great conflict within you, in your flesh. Have you experienced that conflict? Then you're regenerated. So when you experience conflict, when sin gets the best of you, when your habits sometimes pulls you down and you fall, you should rejoice if that bothers you. You shouldn't fall under condemnation. You should say, "Thank God. There's something in me. There's another force within me. There's a life within me that does not want to do that." But at regeneration, that life is so weak. And your natural man is so strong. That's why Paul says, he said, or not Paul, but Peter, he said, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. Babies aren't strong. But you see, your pastors and your teachers will tell a little baby that's just been regenerated, you can't do that anymore. God won't love you if you do that. As I've shared many times before, I heard a famous preacher on the radio one night as I was sitting there reading the Bible and smoking a cigarette. I heard this famous preacher say, "You can't blow smoke in Jesus' face and make it into heaven." Well, because I had a lot of faith in that preacher, that destroyed me for a long time. You see, that's what religion does. It aborts the baby. It kills the baby. It doesn't give it time. It doesn't give it life. It gives it rules and regulations. Would you take a natural baby at birth and begin to teach it how to live like its father? It's ridiculous. Yet that's what our spiritual leaders have done to us. They've given us no time to grow up and become spiritual men. Thank God that the sound has went forth from the heavens. Babylon, that great harlot, is fallen. God is calling His people out of that ungodly, confused mess of Christendom. Thank God that there are people on the earth today who are hearing the voice of the seventh angel, and the mystery of God shall be revealed within them, which is simply, you are a child of God. Within you there lies a great mystery. And it is the Son of God again being birthed in humanity. That's the good news of the gospel. When Jesus was birthed, what did the angel say? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And yet religion for 2,000 years has kept us in darkness. It was only good news if you were a good person. Oh, God loves you, but you see, God is holy. And although He loves you, He's holy. And if you aren't holy, well, you know, I'm sorry, but God just can't have anything to do with you because He's a holy God. You can't come into His presence with sin in your life. He's a holy God. It just kills the baby. It kills that new life. It aborts that. You see, that's the dragon standing at the womb of the woman, ready to devour her child as soon as it's born. It's happened to most all of us, that we received a new life and the dragon is right there. That old serpent of the mind is right there to kill the baby before it ever gets a chance to grow. You can't ever. How can you come into the presence of God? Look at you. And they sing songs about, you know, the redeemed, and they teach message after message about forgiveness and the blood of Jesus. And at the same time, will teach you in your mind, how could you come to God the way you are? Well, we believe in the blood, but you can't come to God like you are. Look at you. Well, you old dirty prostitute, how could you think you could come into the presence of God? Look at you. Well, then, on the other hand, they will tell the prostitute, if she has never been saved, they will tell her, well, you come to Jesus just as you are. He accepts everybody the way they are. Little darling, come on up to the altar and accept Him. Well, so she goes up and accepts Him. She better never prostitute herself again, or she's more a child of hell. They will immediately tell her, when she's born again, that she has to, from that day forth, be a different person. Now, that's wonderful if you can do that, but you have to remember something, folks. This is so important because all of you in the near future are going to be in ministry if you're not now. Because this message is going to so break across the world that we all are going to become ministers of this word to help those who are coming. I would never tell a prostitute, if she has a regeneration experience, it's okay to go prostitute your body. But I would say what the scriptures say. My little children, isn't that what you are when you are first born again? My little children, I would that you sin not. But if you do, remember this, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's a propitiation for your sin. And not only for yours, dear child, but for the whole world. Good news of the gospel. He don't throw you away because you slip and fall back into your old lifestyle. You see, if you believe that, you'll always be a hopeless Christian. I do not know a God whose arm is too short that He cannot save me in any condition that I might find myself in. You see, I don't believe in the devil anymore. Now, did I say he was non-existent? I said, I don't believe in the devil anymore. I believe in God who is able to deliver me from the power of the enemy. In fact, I believe in a God and His Word that says that He has already delivered me from the power of the enemy. Now, as a newborn Christian, you may not experience that, but you can believe that. See, there's a new life that's been wakened on the inside of you. A brand new life. That life in you has nothing of the old. But I'll tell you something else. That old life in you that you've lived, that human consciousness, there's nothing in there of the new. See, the new man is not the old man made over again. The new man is a new man. It's a new life. It's a new spirit. And it knows nothing of the old. Again, that's why the conflict. Oh, you should be most thankful if there's a conflict in your life. Because it proves one thing. There's another life in you striving against the life of the flesh. Because the spirit strives against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, when you're a spiritual baby, you experience that verse this way. When you're a spiritual baby, like Paul in Romans chapter 7, you will to do what is right, but you find another law in your members bringing you into captivity to the law of sin and death. Because the baby in your spirit is not yet strong enough to overcome the works of the flesh. So the spirit strives against and the flesh against the spirit, so you cannot do the thing that you would. That's a spiritual baby. But then when you grow, you find your experience in Galatians 2:20 that says, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ. Then when the flesh begins to rise up, the spirit strives against the flesh, and guess who wins? You cannot do the things that you would. You cannot any longer follow after the things of the flesh because the spirit in you strives against that and brings that into captivity. But you can't teach a baby to do that. You have to teach the baby about the blood of Jesus. You have to teach the baby about forgiveness and God's unlimited, unfathomable love. And make the baby realize that no matter how many times he fails, no matter how many times you fall back into prostitution, no matter how many times that the lust of homosexuality rises up in you again, no matter how many times you fail under any condition, God is there and the blood has been shed. Because you see, redemption was not for that old, unregenerated man. Redemption, this gospel, is for the new man. And that's why God said, as far as the east is from the west, so far shall I remove the transgression of my people. God knows what's on the inside of you. God knows that the preciousness of His seed and His life is within you, and He will never condemn you. He will raise up the fiery trials and the circumstances that will drive you to the seed within you, but He will never condemn you. You see, He'll just feed the baby. Religion kills the baby. God feeds the baby. So when the people of the world come to you and they've just been regenerated and they have this striving gone on within you, if you understand, if you know the heart of your Father, you will be able to minister to them and see every bondage in their life fall at their feet. Oh, but if you're religious, and you tell them, well, listen, sister, you've been born again, you've been saved, and you can't live like that any longer because you can't please God in that condition, God will cut you off. That sounds like a real Savior, doesn't it? Someone who can't help you unless you can help yourself? Do we need that kind of a God? If I had not have discovered the richness of His love and forgiveness, I would still be in the bondage that I was in listening to my religious teachers. I did not learn this gospel from a man that I teach. God came to me years ago with this message. I thought it was for me, and it was. I had no idea that the message that He brought to me and made a part of me was going to one day affect the world. Every one of us have a world changer on the inside of us. But oh, how we need to seek God until the religion in our minds falls at our feet. We must drop all expectations in ourselves of being a good person and focus and center on the Christ within us who is most lovely and most beautiful. And I'm telling you, you will fall in love with yourself. Not with that old man, of course. But there is such a beautiful, overcoming, wonderful, ascended, resurrected Spirit of God on the inside of you that you will fall in love with what you see happening to you when that life begins to come forth. Oh, and you talk about rejoicing and rest. I struggled for years. As Hebrews says, let us strive to enter into that rest. Oh, there's such a rest for the people of God. Because we are awakening in His likeness and image. And that's only a beginning. The regeneration is only a beginning. Glory. I'm going to stop for now. We'll pick this up, in a couple hours or something? Okay. And I'll get into the verse that I told you to turn to then. Maybe.
This concludes this message. For additional paid copies or for more information, contact Sigler Ministries, that's S-I-G-L-E-R Ministries, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. Our fax number, 336-775-4932. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution.
Yes, I'll take